Blog Talk Radio.
I just wanna love you slow and slow motion, slow motion.
Yeah.
I just wanna
love you.
Love you slow and slow motion, slow motion.
Yeah.
A lot of pina coladas got me rocking. I got her feet in the sand, and I hope she catches sand. Cause you know I like my women when they chocolate. Hey, she like it, so I know her very well. When I hit it, so I make her belly swell. Baby, we ain't in no rush. We got all day, we can just do us. Hey, and I know life's so fast in the city. Baby, check the view, take a picture, ain't it pretty? I feel like a king whenever you with it. So take another sip, drink it, so we get litty. I just really wanna.
Another episode of blogtalkradio.com, Hear No Evil. I'm Darlene Lewis, your show's creator and your show's producer. Now, today's topic, creative during Corona, writers and videographers, PR professionals, fine artists, musicians, models, as well as photographers are finding time to recreate their lives. With so much time to explore their natural environments, writers have been creating different stories, yet some are finding it hard to monetize. Let's figure out how we can change that momentum into tangible rewards. Call in the show right now, 516-453-9097, and we have a caller already. Caller, you're on the line. Welcome to Hear No Evil. Caller, calling from a 917-407 number. Hello?
That's Jeff.
Yes,
hello?
Are you online? You're here with Vlog Talk Radio. You have the air.
Hi.
Welcome to Hear No Evil. How are you?
Hi, Darlene. It's Jennifer Wilson from Sisters Uptown Bookstore. How are you?
Well, hi. How are you? Thank you for calling in. So happy to hear your voice. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's a blessing
with the,
to hear
with the corona situation going on, how has Sisters Bookstore been dealing with this new way of social distancing?
Well, basically, you know, we were mandated to close back early in March, so the store is actually closed. But what we've done is to recreate ourselves and realign ourselves with newness. So we're actually functioning on an online store that we, you know, fill orders from the online source. And then we have 3 days a week where folk can actually come and do pickup at the door. And then we're actually doing, you know, mailings from the orders that we're getting online. Other than that, the store is closed, sis.
Oh, my God. So you're suffering just like the restaurants and all of the other stores that they deem non-essential. So what is the website that individuals can order from?
Okay, so our website where they can order from is www.sistersuptownbookstore.com.
So that's www.sistersuptownbookstore.com. So all of you that are interested in going to the website to order your favorite authors or unknown authors or finding out what else is going on and to keep updated as to when the bookstore will be open again, because we hope that this pandemic will change the face of how we do business. And it's strange because as an online business person, you know, I've always kept the social distancing, but it even affects us because those of us that tape like TV shows or whatever, we're now forced to do online video conferencing, and it's hard to get advertisers to understand the importance of banner ads. You know what I mean? Like, they don't understand the concept of still being able to promote your products, goods, and service, even if you're not able to physically be at the studio or on location. Now, how are the writers dealing with you that probably had events that was scheduled? How is that working for you?
Well, basically, the events were canceled. And what I've tried to do is to reschedule some book talks through Zoom. I'm having the first one on May 9th. But the only thing I find about that is that's a whole nother energy. And so it's different from the way we're accustomed to doing book talks and book events. So it's going to be interesting the way this one pans out, and then I guess it'll dictate the future of how we'll be doing book talks.
Well, yeah, this is what I'm saying. Like a lot of small businesses, large businesses, we're not accustomed to the online world of promotion to the event where it's like the only choice. And so a lot of people have had to reevaluate how they do business and change up. And unfortunately, a lot of people are not susceptible. Then you have a lot of people that don't have cameras on their computers.
Yeah.
So they don't understand the concept. And then some people don't understand just the basic functions of logging on. So, you know, it takes a lot of educating people on really becoming aware of new technology. You know, Zoom has been around. There's so many video conferencing that's been around. People have been using WhatsApp more, FaceTiming people. You know, there's always been like video chats, but people really weren't using it to a degree that they have to use it now. So authors should take the opportunity to just understand the process, maybe put some product placement in the background, you know, their banners or their flyers, you know, or tags somewhere so that when people are looking on, they can actually see, or just have, like, the website tag at the bottom so that people can promote their products, goods, and services. And I don't know what the capacity is for the rooms in Zoom. I don't know how many people
I'm
you can
sure,
have at
like
one time.
Right. I'm not sure. Like I said, this is going to be my first one that I'll be doing. So it's going to be interesting. And what I did was I reached out to some authors because my pet peeve is self-published authors because our plights are basically the same. I reached out to folk that I have their books in the store because the premise is if we don't partner the authors and the bookstore to get those books sold, the books are just going to sit in the store. You always post that your books are there. And so that's what authors are going to need to do moving forward. You've got to work with us in terms of letting people know where your books are, because otherwise, you know, nobody's going to know to come and purchase your books at Sisters Uptown Books. So what we could do is if authors reach out and we can partner, we maybe one week we can just post that author's books on the website with the books that, along with the books that we're selling. We could feature that author as author of the week. You know what I mean? But we need to come together to figure out how to get this thing done. We need to partner. Because moving forward, this is going to be a whole nother dimension for all of us. And so the work has been done. You've written your book, but we need to figure out moving forward how we're going to get books sold in a new era.
Had to have this topic as the radio topic because I have books in your store and, you know, I know people that have books in your store. I'm referring people to your store and people are really, really desperate, you know, wondering like what's going to happen even with like, you know, my yearly Literary Ladies Lads book promo tour. Like, this is horrible because, like, I've been promoting, oh, I'm going to try it again this year, blah, blah, blah. And now I don't know where I'm going to be because the store's closed. You know, I don't want to host it anywhere else. You know, it's like when you find a bookstore that you really call home that, you know, gives you the opportunity to promote yourself and you can invite, you know, your friends and family in. I mean, that's rare. So Sisters Bookstore is a store that needs to be supported. Repeat again when you're going to do the Zoom next week.
It's next Saturday, May 9th from 6 to 8. So we're doing it as a regular book event.
Okay.
Normally book talks are about, for about 2 hours. There's, you know, talk about the book and then Q&A and then the signing of the book. So what we did was to pre-sell the books. When we did the advertisement, we let them know they can order the books from the store or they can come by and pick them up for folk who've not read the book so that they can get into discussion on the day of the event. So that's how we
did
pre-order.
Is there a particular author that you will be highlighting that day?
Yeah, the brother's name is Derek Guest, and
okay.
He actually had done, he did a book signing in the store recently, maybe about 4 months ago, and so I have some of his books, a large number of his books left in the store. So like I said, I started reaching out to authors saying, well, I've got your books in the store, even though we're of a different era, so how can we invite people to know that your books are there and then get books sold also. And so this was he was the only one that I reached out to who said, okay, let's do it, and actually did the work because I'm not that familiar with Zoom. So he went on, found out all the information, secured a date, and, you know, did his flyer. The only thing I see with new authors is if they got their books on Amazon or Google or whatever, they're advertising Amazon and this place and whatever. So I think the premise moving forward has to be is if you've got a local bookstore where your book is being sold, then just like you're advertising Amazon, you need to advertise that you have your book in that bookstore.
Exactly.
Yeah, because how else are the, you know, you're sending people to Amazon, but then you're not letting them know they're in your local bookstore.
Exactly. You know, and that's why it's very important that we continue to support Sisters Uptown Bookstore, because there are not that many bookstores around that will give authors the freedom and the exposure to get their works out. And not only let my listening audience know also what other activities Sisters Bookstore provides.
Okay, well, actually January 1 was our 20th year. We celebrated 20 years in the community. And we embrace whatever talents community members and folk from afar had. So on a regular basis, we had poetry writing workshops, and then we would have poetry to music. We had the poetry workshop was on the second Friday of every month, and then we had, and now they're trying to do something online with it. So they're saying, well, we don't want to stop, but let's figure out how we can get it done. So their Poetry Speaks to Us is now doing something with Zoom also. And then we had poetry to music, where there was a Bifo Jazz, a jazz ensemble led by Atiba Wilson, that came the third Tuesday of every month. And then we had local book clubs that would meet every month. We have a book club that's been together for over 10 years. They meet the last Saturday of every month. And then what I would do is to introduce new authors, I made sure a lot of the authors' book signings were on the day of the book club meet, and that was a guaranteed audience. There are about 15 members in our mm-hmm. book club. And so that was one way, too, that I would involve book clubs with new authors, and it was wonderful because the authors got to do unofficially book talks where the critique was informative and helped them. A lot of them were saying, you know, I didn't know that this was how the book was written or that I needed to improve on this or whatever. So that was an advantage also for new authors. And then we have storytelling. We have book clubs for children. We have sound meditation. Whatever it is folk were doing in the community, sis, I embraced it and made that a part of our community hub because it's a safe space. It's a space mm-hmm. where we can come and exchange information and ideals. So that's the premise of the bookstore. It's for us, and I've held it down for 20 years so that we can have a safe place to come and present and preserve our works.
Now, let me ask you something. How are the local politicians embracing the bookstore? Or do they even acknowledge the bookstore?
Well, the only communication I usually have with politicians is when we're celebrating our anniversary. Somebody on the celebration committee will reach out to them, and then I get presented with a proclamation for the work that I've done in the community. That's about it.
So as far as, like, grant funding or some type of, like, donations to the bookstore?
Nothing.
Nothing. So that means that they need to work on it because the bookstore is a part of the cultural fabric of Harlem. And with so many bookstores closing up, with so many businesses owned by black and brown people closing up, this is a place where people can still go. I mean, children, for instance, they love holding books. They love walking around reading. A lot of elderly women and men that don't have computer skills, that don't know about having a tablet, they would like to come and sit in a bookstore and relax and, you know, enjoy themselves. And artists, you know, graphic artists, fine artists would love to come near and promote their artwork and you know, sit and listen to some poetry or just listen to someone reading a story. And people like me, you know, that always wanted to have their books in a bookstore, like the first time I was able to do it and bring other authors with me, you don't understand how these authors were so overwhelmed by somebody taking them by the hand saying, listen, I can get your books in a bookstore, but you got to do the work, blah, blah, blah. They jumped on the opportunity, you know, because they there was a dream for them, you know, and now they're more, they promote the store. That's one thing about writers. Once they find a place that they can call home, they'll promote that to all of their friends and all of their colleagues and stuff. So it is about supporting, but more than anything, it's a historical situation. 20 years, that's a long time to be able to maintain a bookstore. Like, that's unheard of.
Yes, it is, because they give you the first 5 years to succeed, and we've been able to maintain and stay steadfast in the community for 20 years. And right now, as of today, we're basically the only black-owned bookstore in Manhattan and the oldest family-owned business, the oldest family-owned bookstore in New York City, black-owned.
Wow. That's
amazing.
Yeah, we
did the research. Yeah, we did.
That's amazing. With all of the writing that's going on, why do you think that's the reality?
Well, I was on a talk. I listened in on a talk about a month ago, which was the first Zoom for black-owned bookstores around the country. Publishers, authors, and black-owned bookstore owners were on the panel and having a discussion, because what is being realized is some years ago, and it wasn't that many years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, we had 300 black-owned bookstores in the 50 states of America. And right now we're down to about 50 in the 50 states of the United States of America. 50 from 300 we're down to, and people don't realize that our bookstores are actually becoming extinct. And as I listened to folk trying to figure out how we were going to keep these stores that remain open in the era of this pandemic, everybody had the same dilemma. It's like, so how am I going to pay these bills if the store is closed? How do we move forward? We were all trying to figure out the same thing, and our plights are all the same. 50 leftists what all of the black and brown people in this country were down to 50 stores. I think people are not realizing it. They're not realizing it. We need more support from our communities, because if the community that we're existing in doesn't support it, we're done.
Do you think that the recording artists and the basketball players and that have large sums of money could possibly help, like, if they're aware of, you know, because a lot of them read and a lot of them write books. So
yeah, maybe they're not even aware.
They may not be aware.
Right.
I think what should happen is that authors have, like you said, have to promote where their books are if they're in bookstores, but also individuals that are in the neighborhood or in the state should try and also be a part of a readathon where you can raise money, you know, by people calling in and sending in money and possibly be prepared, because what's going to happen if this pandemic lasts for like 6 months? People are going to lose
our
their
stores
property.
Stores are going to be closed. Yeah, they're going to.
Yeah, and it's not right.
Because, yeah, we still have to pay the rent. The thing that came was foremost to me is that most of us are renting, sis.
Yeah.
We don't own the spaces where we have the businesses, and so that's part of our problem as the people. We don't own, and we
mm-hmm.
need to get to a place where we own where
yes.
we live. You know
exactly.
what I mean? So if you don't own it, if you own it, you don't have to worry about the landlord. You may have
right.
to worry about the vendors that you owe, but you won't have to worry about your business is going to be shut down now because you can't
exactly.
not be able to pay the rent. So that, to me, is foremost. We need to figure out a way to start owning where our businesses are. And they're right now, they're offering loans. And I'm leery about these loans that they're offering
mm-hmm.
because if the business is closed, how are you going to pay a loan back?
Exactly.
Where's the money going to come from if you're not generating income because your business
exactly.
is closed? So you get a loan, and so if you don't pay it back, now you still don't have a business, and then you owe.
Yeah.
So
I think these predatory
forward,
lenders, it's just horrible what's going on. If anything, these small businesses should have really, really received a large bulk of some of this stimulus money, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
to be honest,
hasn't
the
happened.
Guidelines that they were saying that if you have a certain amount or less, but you can have a small business, and they say if you have 50 employees or less, you're a small business. That, to me, is not a small business if you have
right.
50 people.
Not 50. Yeah, and guess what? I have no employees. I volunteer. I don't get a salary. I've never taken a salary in 20 years. All I've done is put my money in, and my daughter.
Mm.
So we don't have employees. So where do we stand? What money are we going to get?
Yeah.
See
what I'm
saying? So we're not in the business of getting no money because we don't qualify for the parameters that you have to meet in order to get the funds.
Wow.
We're applying for grants, but they're like, you're amongst 50 million people trying to get these grants. So
there has to be a way that financial institutions and investors and what is that called when they sit around and they listen to your pitch, like when you do like elevator pitches, and then you have these God, I forgot the word. It's on the tip of my tongue. And they listen and decide whether or not they want to invest in your property.
What, the philanthropist?
Venture capitalists.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand why. And I'm noticing a lot of bookstores are getting swallowed up by the big book chains. You know, mm-hmm. like the mom and pop stores, they just don't see the need for them, and I'm not understanding where that's coming from. I think even the schools should support the bookstores. You know, bookstores and libraries should also get funding.
Mm-hmm.
But
moving forward,
I don't know.
Prayerfully, that will be the case, sis, but right now it isn't. So we've got to put our heads together and figure out, you know, how we're going to move forward.
Well, I want to thank you
for
calling in. I want to thank you for calling in. I've just been totally overwhelmed by our conversation, and I'm ignoring all of the other calls that's coming in because I think this is so important, you know.
Right.
But please restate the website and how people can contact you.
Okay, our website is sistersuptownbookstore.com.
And the sistersuptownbookstore.com, and you're having a Zoom book event.
Uh-huh, book talk.
A book
May
talk.
May
9th.
From 6 to 8 p.m.
Uh-huh, and the author
is Derek Guest.
Derek Guest. Now, how many books does he have? Does he just have one? One book?
I only have one of his books. Yeah, I think he does have I think he has a second book that's, what do you call it? That's graphic art. But the book that he's going to be reading from, I think it's his autobiography. It's an autobiography.
Oh, very good. And is he Manhattan born? Or
He's from the Bronx.
He's from New York. Okay, so he's from New York City. So you got to support Derek Guest.
New York City. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in.
Sis. I appreciate you. And we'll stay in touch.
Hopefully, do you have any of my books left?
I do. That's why I was reaching out to you and other authors saying, let's do this. Let's find a way to have a book talk.
Yeah, well, please, please put some of those things on your website. I would appreciate it. And what I'll do is every day I'll just spam the website to let people know where you are and what's going on, because I, like I said, I know tons of authors, and I have like 15 authors that I've just met when I went to New Orleans, and unfortunately they shut down my tour 3 days in.
Right.
And
so let's do this,
it's okay.
But let's do this. Let's move forward with a featured author on our
site.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it together.
Okay.
I'm going to get it together. Of course, I have to be the first.
You are.
And then
I started with you.
And then I
thank you so much,
because, like I said, I know some really great authors, and I'm gonna reach out for sure. I'm glad you called in to give me more insight about what you're doing, because I really needed to know that you were not gonna not be doing anything. We cannot afford to let that store go.
No way, sis.
No, we
so
need
any
that,
ideals.
You know?
Yeah, that you have, please reach out. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm thinking a readathon, like people just like call in and donate. You know what I mean? Because that way you'll have like some money in the can built up, so when the doors do open, you're not overwhelmed. You know?
Right.
So I don't know. We got to work out. Now another thing, the pricing, being that things are going to be ordered online, is there a cart on the website where people can order?
Yes.
And shipping and handling and all of that stuff is included in there?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to work
it
out.
All right, sis. Have a blessed one.
Thank you so much. We
okay,
will get this
safe.
Together. All right, you too.
All right, honey. Bye now.
All right. That was Jennifer Wilson, the proprietor of Sisters Uptown Bookstore, which is located on 156 and Amsterdam Avenue on the downtown side of Amsterdam. And let me tell you, it is a great way for individuals to promote their products, goods, and services. My books are in there. Shonda Dickinson's books are in there. Tina Boykin, Blondie's books are in there. And I was able to do my Literary Ladies book tour there twice. And you just don't understand how much appreciated we are to be able to see our books in a real bookstore. Like, it's amazing to have that opportunity. And we cannot afford people to lose an iconic landmark such as Sisters Uptown Bookstore. So I need all of you guys to go to www.sistersuptownbookstore.com and buy books and support what she's doing. Also, you know, every week she's going to be doing book talks. She's doing something May 9th with Derek Guest, a Bronx native author. And, of course, they're going to do something with my stuff soon. So we're going to try and get as many authors as possible to utilize the service and get your books on the website and show support. It's always good to be able to have various venues where your books are able to be purchased. As a writer, I mean, I enjoy having my stuff in Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com, but let me tell you something. Even though my books are on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, I promote them on Lulu.com/Darlene Lewis because I can manipulate the prices, and they were the first self-publishing entity that was user-friendly for me, and I just felt comfortable with Lulu.com. But with Barnes & Noble, it's not like they put your books, like, in the front. You know, you have to literally ask or have, like, customers go in there and say, well, where is this book, blah, 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 and they would have to order it. It's not like they have your book stock. But if you go to Sisters Uptown Bookstore in New York City on 156th Street and Amsterdam Avenue in the Washington Heights / Sugar Hill section of New York City, you will find an array of books, professional and cultural items, and it's just a homely feeling. It's just a very welcoming environment in a neighborhood where the majority of the people speak Spanish and English, but you have a sprinkle of, you know, Europeans that live up there. And it's just a great place to be able to engage. And so I hope that you guys think about when you're writing, where your books are going to be placed, because not 9 times out of 10, everybody does everything online. And because of social distancing, we're forced at this point to do everything online. But we don't have to forget our bookstores. Our bookstores still have to thrive. So let's come up with ways to monetize and network and just promote. Okay? Let's listen to some good music. You know, now and then I like to promote the music of Kelton Davis, also known as P-Funk, also known as Pee-Wee, We Us, original producers, the producer of C7 Productions. Go to his website, C7productions.com, and listen to his music. He is incredible. Now, I want to talk to you about some myths about your health. There's a myth we use only 10% of our brain. The fact, evolutionarily, it would make no sense to carry around surplus brain tissue. And let's apply other logic here. If the 10% idea were true, it would make brain damage a lot less worrisome. Medical scans show that much of the brain is engaged during even simple tasks. An injury to small sections of the brain, called eloquent areas, can have profound consequences for language, movement, emotion, or sensory perception. Here's another myth. Older people are doomed to forget things. Fact. Yes. Some cognitive skills do decline as you age, especially if you don't employ strategies to pay closer attention and help you remember. But though you may have been quicker at picking up a new language or memorizing a list of random words when you were younger, you're more likely to be superior with vocabulary and a good judge of character when you're an older adult. You'd score high on tests of social communication and diplomacy, such as how to settle an argument or deal with a conflict. The other good news about aging is that over time, we tend to improve at controlling our emotions, weathering stress, and finding meaning in our lives. So when you find younger people that tend to fight all the time to solve problems, you should think one day when they get older, they'll use rationale before they act impulsively. That's if they've matured. There's a myth that older people can't learn new things. Here's a fact. Learning can happen at any age, particularly when you get involved in stimulating activities like meeting new people or trying new hobbies. Yes, mastering some skills, such as a new computer program, may take an older person longer, but that doesn't mean you can't achieve it. I mean, even people diagnosed with cognitive decline can continue to learn things. Now, there's a myth. Male and female brains differ in ways that dictate learning abilities and intelligence. But here's a fact. Differences do exist in the brains of men and women, though not necessarily to the extent that one is better equipped than the other. Scientists continue to study the brain to understand and learn more about any important differences between the brains of men and women. Research is still emerging in the field of neuroscience. Another way to think about it, more broadly, each of us may be wired in our own unique way. Though with a healthy brain, we all have the capacity to learn, remember, and make sense of the complex world around us. Here's a myth. A crossword puzzle a day can keep the brain doctor away. Fact. Crossword puzzles flex parts of your brain related to word-finding ability, though they are not a cure-all. While they might help you excel at that skill, it's important to challenge your brain in a variety of ways. So, no, that doesn't keep the brain doctor away. Here's a myth. You are dominated by your right or left brain. Now, here's a fact. Many people express and receive language more in the left hemisphere and experience their spatial abilities and emotional expression more in the right. But brain scanning technology has revealed that the brain's two hemispheres often work together in complex processing. Here's a myth. You have only five senses. Fact. You know the basic senses: sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing. But other senses are processed in the brain. Proprioception, where your body parts are what they're doing. Nociception, feeling pain. Thermoception, sensing temperature. Chronoception, sensing the passage of time. And interoception, internal needs such as hunger and thirst. So what does that tell you? That means that we have other senses, but we have five main ones. Hold that thought. I'll be right back.
Finances all that he understands.
Little Child Running Wild from the soundtrack Superfly. That was produced by Curtis Lee Mayfield, born June 3rd, 1942, and passed away December 26, 1999. He was an American singer, songwriter, guitarist, and record producer, and one of the most influential musicians behind soul and politically conscious African-American music. He first achieved success and recognition with The Impressions during the civil rights movement of the late 1950s and 1960s, and later worked as a solo artist. Born in Chicago, Illinois, Mayfield started his musical career in a gospel choir. Moving to the North Side, he met Jerry Butler in 1956 at the age of 14 and joined the vocal group The Impressions. As a songwriter, Mayfield became noted as one of the first musicians to bring more prevalent themes of social awareness into social moments and into soul music. In 1965, he wrote People Get Ready for The Impressions, which displayed his more politically charged songwriting. Ranked at number 24 on Rolling Stone's list of the 500 greatest songs of all time, the song received numerous other awards and was included in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 500 Songs That Shaped Rock and Roll, as well as being inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1998. After leaving The Impressions in 1970 in the pursuit of a solo career, Mayfield released several albums, including the soundtrack for the blaxploitation film Superfly in 1972. The soundtrack was noted for its socially conscious themes, mostly addressing problems surrounding inner-city minorities, such as crime, poverty, and drug abuse. The album was ranked at number 72 on Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest albums of all time. Mayfield was paralyzed from the neck down after lighting equipment fell on him during a live performance at Wingate Field in Flatbush, Brooklyn, New York, on August 13, 1990. I remember that day. I was sitting in that row in Wingate Park. It was a windy, cloudy Monday. I'll never forget it because my twin's father worked for Panasonic at the time. Oh, no, he worked for Bacardi at the time. And Bacardi had been one of the sponsors, and Marty Markowitz was the borough president at the time. And Errol Green came up on the stage and gave a speech. And I noticed then that the floats were moving about back and forth and that it was windy. And it seemed like every Monday when there was a free concert at Wingate Park, it would rain. So nevertheless, it was a windy day. And I remember Errol leaving the scene, walking down the steps, getting to the seat near me, and then we heard dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And then next thing you know, I saw a large, I think it was a Coca-Cola float, swing, and then I seen, like, the equipment fall, and people just started running because it started raining. And it was just such a sad moment. And then later on I found out that he was paralyzed. It was such a freak accident. But despite this, he continued his career as a recording artist, releasing his final album, New World Order, in 1996. Mayfield won a Grammy Legend Award in 1994 and a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 1995. He is a double inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of The Impressions in 1991 and again in 1999 as a solo artist. He was also a two-time Grammy Hall of Fame inductee. He died from complications of type 2 diabetes at the age of 57 on December 26, 1999. I love him. I listen to that Superfly soundtrack every day, every morning. Curtis Mayfield's early life is very simple. He was born June 3rd, like I said, 1942 in Chicago, Illinois, the son of Marion Washington and Kenneth Mayfield, one of five children. Mayfield's father left the family when Curtis was five. His mother and maternal grandmother moved the family into several Chicago public housing projects before settling in Cabrini Green during his teen years. Mayfield attended Wells Community Academy High School before dropping out his sophomore year. His mother taught him piano and, along with his grandmother, encouraged him to enjoy gospel music. At the age of seven, he sang publicly at his aunt's church with the Northern Jubilee Gospel Singers. Mayfield received his first guitar when he was 10, later recalling that he loved his guitar so much he used to sleep with it. He was a self-taught musician, but he grew up admiring blues singer Muddy Waters and Spanish guitarist Andres Segovia. When he was 14 years old, he formed the Alpha Tones when the Northern Jubilee Gospel Singers decided to try their luck in downtown Chicago, and Mayfield stayed behind. Fellow group member Sam Gooden was quoted, "It would have been nice to have him there with us, but of course your parents have the first say." Later, in 1956, he joined his high school friend Jerry Butler's group, the Roosters, with brothers Arthur and Richard Brooks. He wrote and composed songs for this group, who would become the Impressions 2 years later. Now, Mayfield's career began in 1956 when he joined the Roosters with Arthur and Richard Brooks and Jerry Butler. 2 years later, the Roosters, now including Sam Gooding, became the Impressions. The band had two hit singles with Butler, "For Your Precious Love" and "Come Back, My Love." Then Butler left. Mayfield temporarily went with him, co-writing and performing on Butler's next hit, "He Will Break Your Heart," before returning to the Impressions with the group, signing for ABC Records and working with the label Chicago-based producer, A&R manager Johnny Pate. Butler was replaced by Fred Cash, a returning original Roosters member, and Mayfield became lead singer, frequently composing for the band, starting with "Gypsy Woman," a top 20 pop hit. Their hit "Amen," a top 10, an updated version of an old gospel tune, was included in the soundtrack of the 1963 United Artists film "Lilies of the Field," which starred Sidney Poitier. The Impressions reached the height of their popularity in the mid to late 60s with a string of Mayfield compositions that included "Keep on Pushing," "People Get Ready," "It's All Right," and the up-tempo "Talking About My Baby" and "Women's Got Soul." Boy, this man has been around for a long time. He even had his own label called Curtom Records. I loved him. He was a prolific songwriter, musician, and he had the greatest vocals that any tenor could ever have. I want to thank you for listening to blogtalkradios.com, Hear No Evil. And until next time, go to my website, Manipulate the Movement, where you can learn about other productions that we're working on. Or you can watch our TV show at CelebrityShowcaseTV.com. Until next time, stay safe, stay positive.
It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to be to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal.